Welcome to Police for Reform. I'm Russ Belville. Joining us on the program today, we have former Deputy Sheriff Jay Fleming, who worked with the Park County Sheriff's Office in Montana. He's currently speaking to us from Dolan Springs, Arizona. And how are you doing, Jay? Nice to speak to you.
Oh, doing pretty good. It's finally cooled off up here a little bit. We're down to about 100.
Oh, just 100. Well, that's good news, I suppose. Where is Dolan Springs exactly? And is this a little town, big town?
It's pretty little. It's about two blocks long, the actual town itself. Oh, we're about halfway between Las Vegas and Kingman, Arizona.
Okay. So according to your bio, you got started up in Spokane, Washington in the 70s, and you were doing narcotics investigations, drug buys, and undercover work. Tell us about that, about your background fighting the drug war in the 70s and how that led you to the stance you take today with regard to the war on drugs.
Well, back in the 70s, the president was telling us that the war on drugs, you know, was ruining the country and everything. And, you know, some people go fight overseas, and I decided to fight the drug war here. But as time went on, I got to see that, you know, we weren't accomplishing anything. You arrest somebody, and all you do is make another job opening. By the time you get him in jail or somebody else on the corner, you know, selling the same thing. And it just came round and round, and I saw that we were in this circle that was just never going to end. We had to try something different.
Yeah, we hear that so often from the law enforcement personnel we speak to on this segment. And in your case, there's kind of an intersection with the medical marijuana movement as well. It says that your career was cut short in 1984. Tell our listeners what happened.
I was off working part-time driving a truck, and I tried to unload a pallet full of car batteries by myself, which wasn't a good thing to do. I herniated a disc and ended up having back surgery. It left my legs with neuropathy, and I lost a lot of muscle in my right hand and my right leg. I get a lot of back pain. So I've been on opiates for about 20 years, and I just started medical marijuana here a few years ago, and it helps with the neuropathy much better than what the opiates do.
Yeah, we've heard that report that for neuropathic pain, cannabis is an effective and oftentimes superior pain relief option. So for you there in small town Arizona, of course, there is a medical cannabis program in the state. There was an attempt to legalize in 2016. And in 2016, one of the leading opponents of legalization was an Arizona-based company called Insys Therapeutics that manufactures an opioid-based medication and now is manufacturing a synthetic cannabis type medication. What's it like to know that this is going on and to see your fellow Arizonans still kind of behind the curve when it comes to the reform of these laws?
Well, yeah, that company put a lot of money into to try and defeat our legalization effort here. And what's happened, I think, now with Nevada and California, where I live on Highway 93 between Vegas and Kingman, where it meets I-40. I-40 comes out of California. I'm just afraid we're seeing a lot more unmarked cars here, and as with the legalization in those states, I think we're going to really have a lot of enforcement here on these two roads, picking people, you know, left and right, and using our asset forfeiture and just racking up points, getting the people who purchase legal marijuana in California and Nevada, and then try and make it home here to Arizona or on east.
And with respect to asset forfeiture, what are the state's policies? I know some of the states recently have passed laws that require criminal convictions. How bad is it there in Arizona?
Arizona hasn't gone that way yet, I don't think. We still see cars on the side of the road here all the time with three or four unmarked and a marked unit with somebody's poor car torn all apart. And I think that's just going to ramp up with, you know, starting the 1st of July here, especially coming out of Nevada there.
Now, that's right. This Saturday, 1st of July, is the beginning of adult recreational sales from what may be up to 40 outlets, mostly in Las Vegas. And, of course, you'd be right there on that road of everyone coming back. What are the prospects in Arizona as far as moving forward with legalization? Is anyone looking at 2018, or is it more likely 2020 would be the next shot?
I don't know. They're kind of confused here. There's two groups that kind of fight each other over this, and that's one of the problems here.
Oh, no.
I don't know quite what we're going to do. We need to do something. We need to get this legalized and stop locking these people up. I mean, really.
Yeah, and from your experience, you found it to be, you know, a wasteful and unproductive failure. The war on drugs is but one aspect of law enforcement reform that Law Enforcement Action Partnership is working on. What are some of the other aspects of law enforcement reform you think this country really needs to start employing?
Well, the racial divide. You know, we hit the black community much harder than we hit the white, and it just seems, I don't know. We go into these communities and we're not helping anybody. We arrest these people, they go in the cycle, they get into the prison system, and once you come out, they try and revoke you for anything. I mean, pot stays in your system 30 days. You stop by, smoke a joint with somebody, they violate you, and you're back in prison, serving hard time again over really nothing. And we've got to stop that revolving door and try and get some training, you know. It used to be in the prisons where you went to prison, you'd be trained, you'd come out with a trade. Today, we simply warehouse them in these overcrowded places where all they do is learn to be better criminals and better drug dealers, I think.
And trying to fight for these reforms in Arizona, of course, up until recently, was infamously the home to Sheriff Joe Arpaio. I understand he didn't get reelected this last term, but what's it like trying to convince conservative and oftentimes older Arizonans the wisdom of this stance?
I think most of them got it this last time, and there was some advertising in our last legalization thing that really, you know, wasn't the truth, and I think that's what pushed it over and got us to fail this last time. There was just so much money against this that it's difficult to fight. When I go out and talk to the older Arizonans here in the Kiwanis clubs and things, once you explain things to them, it's like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. But there's so much hype and, you know, about the opiate thing now. It's an opiate crisis. It seems like most of it is heroin and the illegal fentanyl. But the people who are taking the brunt of this are the pain patients. A lot of doctors are cutting pain patients' doses in half. Like, I've been on opiates for 20 years. When you reduce the dosage too much, the patient has two choices. I mean, you either turn to the street or you turn to a gun. I mean, living with chronic pain is hell. And when these doctors, for no medical justification, cut doses, I think our suicide rates are really going to jump this year.
This is one of the aspects of the opiate overdose epidemic that we need to pay attention to, is not wanting to restrict legitimate pain patients from the medications they need. I think sometimes there's a tendency to want to demonize fentanyl. Oh my God, it's 50 times more powerful than morphine or whatever. Hey, some people need 50 times more powerful than morphine, right?
Yeah, and it comes in micrograms is how it's dosed. I mean, you don't get a lot of it. It comes in patches usually. I don't think I've ever seen it in pill form. And most of that coming into the States now is illegal. Most of the pain patients are good people. They use it. But when DEA comes in and arrests a doctor, the problem is, you know, 20 days later you go to get a prescription refilled and there's a sign on the door saying, you know, DEA arrested him. And that's the first time the patient ever really knows. Hmm. So you've got, you know, 1,000 patients for some doctor scrambling, trying to get to other patients, other doctors, and nobody wants to take them because this was a bad doctor, but they certainly weren't all bad patients.
Yeah, it is a shame. So Jay Fleming with Law Enforcement Action Partnership, he's one of many, many speakers all across the United States and around the world who can appear at your Kiwanis Club, your Lions Club, your Rotary Club, any of these events that might be going on, and speak with the experience and wisdom of having fought on the front lines of the war on drugs. Jay, thanks so much for joining us on the show today. And is there any other contact information or websites you'd like to tell people about?
Yeah, just come to lawenforcementactionpartnership.org. Look at our speakers bureau, find somebody you'd like to come talk to you, and let us come explain the other side of the drug war and the other side of what law enforcement can do for you. We need to build trust back in our law enforcement.
Completely agreed. Thanks for being with us here on Police for Reform.